parents were like very different. They were really, really good people. And they, my dad, I can't even, my brother and I were talking about this. He's 9 years older than I am. And we can't ever remember our dad saying, "You can't do that." He would question us. He would say, "Oh, that's what you want to do." You know, and then we even have to support that. And so that kind of will give you a little bit of philosophy there as far as being brought up with using our creativity, being problem solvers, finding ways to make things work. And so the day that I went, decided I was going to go to college, it was a meeting of the mafioso. Okay, my Uncle Gene, my Uncle Paul. There were several people I called uncle. I have no idea how we were even related. But they all sat down and they went, "He wants to go to college." And I'm serious. I was kind of sweating about whether or not they were going to let me go. So after I started in school, and one day I was home. We had a farm in Belfair. And for some reason, my dad always liked to talk to me when we were feeding pigs. Now, I will share with you that that's not the most glamorous thing to do, okay? Anybody been brought up on a farm? Okay. You would know then that, did you have pigs? Not necessarily the cleanest job in the world, you know, to deal with. But he said to me, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm thinking about being the teacher, Dad." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm going to teach, like, you know, teach music." He says, "Can you make a living doing that?" I says, "Well, I hope so." He says, "Then you better be a damn good teacher." That was the end of the conversation. And came to all of my concerts, and it, you know, until he passed on. And he was very, very involved in supporting me in what I was doing. I wasn't a good student in high school. I loved football and girls, football primarily. I met my wife, who we've been married for 49 years, and I always tell people, "I got married once and I'll never do it again," and I agree that I won't. But there were things about teaching. There was one particular teacher that I looked back on. In fact, I don't know if I ever told you about this, Dr. Mandel. He taught, of all things, Washington State history. At one time, if you went to school in our state, you had to take Washington State history if you went to high school. And he was an amazing teacher. He was relentless. He reminded me so much of my mother, you can't believe. Italian, if you can possibly do it, do not have Italian mothers. I mean, they are absolutely relentless. They will, you know, doesn't matter what hour of the day. I was a typical little Italian accordion, chunky Italian accordion player, okay? And I played the accordion night, day. I loved it. And I would, if I played someplace and she would listen and she didn't feel I put my heart into it, she'd come in and be like 2 o'clock in the morning. And she'd say, "Hey, Princess Jean, wake up. What do you want, Mom?" She goes, "You know, I've been thinking about it." You know, I was thinking Hunt's Jewish mothers are similar to this, Dr. O'Dell. But, you know, it's, and then in the morning she'd say, "You know, did you practice yet?" Because I would practice in the morning. We feed the animals at 4:30 and, you know, milk the cows and stuff. And then there was about an hour in there that you couldn't go back to sleep, you know, that before I'd catch a bus to go to school. So I would practice. She says, "I'm going to hear that music again." She says, "It should make me smile." You know, she would say this. And so, relentless mothers, relentless teachers. This teacher would call my house and say, if I was there, right there, say, "Hey, did you get that report done?" And I would say, "I will get it done." You know, he really cared about his students. And so in class, there were things that he did. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't realize, but I remember him and how he taught. Then, as I finished college and so forth, and started teaching, the thing that drove me crazy is that I could feel in the group. I could sense this ability, this potential And when the students didn't achieve that, it just drove me crazy. And I kept thinking to myself, at first I blamed them. Because it's those dang kids. Then it dawned on me that maybe it wasn't them. So this is where Dr. Modell comes into the picture, because one day he came out to my class, and he was, actually what he did is he came out to one of my performances. And the groups that I had at Edmonds Community College were called Soundstation. And I would say that they were some of the most creative, hardworking, fun-loving of the students a teacher could ever have. And anyway, he came into my class one day and he says, "Do you know what the hell you're doing?" And I says, "No." and he says, "Well, why did you do this?" I said, "Well, because that seems to be working more than this did. It seems that this seems to get more things happening." And this was before I started like reading a lot about teaching styles and so forth. And I sort of came up with actually I observed three different kinds of styles, and I think that this has probably been formalized at some point. But I came up with, there was what I call the competitive approach to learning. Anybody ever taken the classes where they graded on a curve? I have to tell you that I was in a music form and analysis class, which is an advanced music class. We were analyzing Beethoven symphonies, and I mean, it was very intense. And the instructor came in and he says, "I'm grading on a curve in this class." And I thought, what the heck has that got to do with the way I learn? I mean, that means I'm competing against you and you, you know, to get a better grade because I'm on the right side of that curve, you know. And I can't tell you, let me tell you, I pulled all the stops in that class. In fact, this was, I can tell you the year, in 1963, and tape recorders like were a big thing then. The big reel-to-reels. You guys ever seen those? Now, you can get one that's about this big that'll do about 10 times more than this thing. So what I did is to record four tracks. So I recorded on one track just the background music. On another track, I would record the different little motifs and ideas. And then on another track, I recorded, a buddy of mine that had this bass voice. It just really fit, you know. And so, at the beginning of this class, I had this tape recorder sitting up in front of the room. And I sat in the back, I had an extension all back here. So when everybody got in, I plugged it in. And the thing said, you know, "Good afternoon. Welcome to Forman Analysis 407, or whatever the number was. And today we'll be studying and analyzing the Beethoven Fourth Symphony." And this guy's voice is just perfect. He could just announce this thing, you know. And so we went through this whole thing, and I'm sitting in the back of the room, but I could see my buddies because their presentations were really wimpy, you know. Mine wasn't any better than theirs, believe me. But the
chutzpah's the word.
The plates were nicer. The presentation was that, you know, my mom used to say, "Hey, you think I'm going to cook spaghetti all day and serve it on paper plates?" "No, you have to put it in a nice dish." So, this thing, and at the end of it, it went, "This has been a report. Anyway, when it got done, the instructor came and he suggested that I do it with all the Beethoven symphonies. I mean, he had no idea the hours that it took to do that. No idea. But grading on a curve, what's that got to do? And then I came up with the second thing that I called an individual process. There were classes that I was in that I never really learned anybody else's, even their name. Nothing more than maybe recognize them and say hi. But you were just completely on your own in that class. Okay? I'm sure all of us have been in a lot of classes that way. And then the third thing is called cooperative learning. And that's become kind of a thing. But it became something in those classes that I was in really made a difference with me. Because I like to come up with ideas, but when I find that when I share my ideas with another person and they share their, then a third or fourth or fifth idea starts happening. All of a sudden there's a sense of a snowballing process, a collecting of more and more ideas. So anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. But as the year went on, and as the more I teach, the more I've decided that there's even more to learn about this process and more to discover about it. But I want to end this little part of the of my presentation to you with something that a dean of instruction, one of the most intelligent people I've ever really worked with, he was marvelous. And at the beginning of every year, we had I bring them all my students. I understand you guys had a retreat this year, so we would do. And I'd have the president of the college come and talk to them. I'd have the dean of instruction, dean of students, student activities. I've had four or five of the like leaders of the college come and talk to these students, because I expected them, in their own way, in whatever way they wanted to, just whatever they wanted it to mean, to be leaders, to be examples. Okay, so if I want them to be good examples, I tried to bring in people who were good examples. This dean of instruction spent, I am not kidding, at least 40, 45 minutes talking about the importance of good grades in college and study habits. He went through all of this. These were freshmen and sophomores in college. When he got done, he stopped. And he had this huge pause. And incidentally, I visited him this year on his 90th birthday. And we reminisced about this. He had this huge pause. And he looked at him, and everybody was, you know, because they were taking notes and everything. He says, however, there is no correlation between high grades and success. Whoa, you could just see it. After what he just said, he says, because high grades, we still don't know if you learned something. We don't, I mean, we just know that you were able to give us correct answers. But could you take that information and synthesize it and develop it and use it in such a way? Because that's what you're going to have to do. There, if we think that anything in life is a simple pattern, it isn't. There's always these little nuances. It's always different. In music, if we come and sing for you, and we sing in this beautiful the auditorium with the old chapel, you know, the ambiance, the reverberation in it is wonderful. So we can do music slower. We can do music a cappella. We can do things with the sound that if we were to sing in this room the next day, we'd have to everything is different. It's the same, but it's the nuances are all different. Does that make sense? The same song. We're going to learn a song here in a minute. Same song, but the nuances are always different. How do we deal with that? And to me, one of the things that I've enjoyed with my students is that I've embarked on this process because it, I have to just say, for me as a teacher, I don't know about you here, but it's more difficult. I have to be really alert and feel, I have to sort of be on top of things. And the other thing that I have to be is really confident in myself because I'm vulnerable. At any given moment, my students could come up with a better idea than I have. And I've got to be confident enough in myself to say, let's develop your idea. That's the thing we should be working on. That's the best thing so far. Does that make sense? So anyway, so that's something that we've had some fun with. I've come up with something here, and I need somebody to help me do this. These are little ribbons. You can do with this ribbon as you wish. I like keeping one in my wallet. And I also like, sometimes I like pinning this someplace where it's not necessarily visible to the world, but it reminds me. And I'll have you pass these out, one to everybody. Anyway, it says, who I am makes a difference. I'll give this one to you. Us farmers have to stick together. Anyway, who I am makes a difference. And part of the reason for that is it may sound like it's the individual approach, but it isn't. It's who I am makes a difference, and that's why in this class, if I'm sitting here, I have to be involved in my way. I have to be involved in my way. in such a thing that as I continue to work and as I continue to do things, all of a sudden the circle grows around me. And all of a sudden the ideas, the information and so forth, it becomes inclusive, a very inclusive process. And so I hope that you'll like those. Okay. I'm going to also need some more help here. We're going to learn a song. Now, being around Dr. Modell, I have to say, has been a wonderful education for me, because he's a person that has a variety of interests in music. And I don't know, have you figured that out?
Oh, yeah.
And part of that, of course, is the Jewish aspect, because as soon as we got to know each other, our families are very close, and we have dinners together, and he keeps basically helps me with pronunciations of music, and that's what you're getting here right now. It's a wonderful song. And this song is beautiful in that basically what it means is that when we come together, in a sense, it's the importance of coming together. Holidays, to me, that's what holidays are all about. There is it's an excuse for coming together. If you ever were to go to Italy, they virtually have found a way to have a holiday on about every weekend. Okay, it's some saint, it's somebody was buried that day, somebody died that, somebody was moved from this grave to that grave that day. I mean, they'll come up with anything. And the real reason is because they are inclusive people. They want to get together. They want to have fun. They dance and sing and make music and enjoy each other's individualities in a fun way. Do we get everybody music to everybody? All right. Everybody got a song? Dr. Waddell, do you have a copy?
I do.
All right. Would you please?
Extra copies there to wind it up.
I've got plenty.
Oh, you have more. Okay.
Okay, Dr. Modell, would you please walk us through the pronunciation of this?
Mato.
Humanain.
Shevet.
Achim. Don't spit on anybody when you do that, all right?
Achim.
Now, this, I should tell you, this was his idea, not mine.
You know what? No, that's my idea.
He called me one day, and he said, he didn't say who he was, and he has caller ID. So when I call, he knows I don't have caller ID. I pick up the phone on a Sunday, so he says, okay, tell me something. And he tried to read this. And I said, why do you need this? Why do you want to do this? So he decided that he has a group called the Snow King Corral. It's a community corral that meets at his community college. And he decided that he should do something Jewish in his holiday program. His holiday program. So we spent about, an hour and a half saying, Hinei. Matov.
Matov.
Manaim.
Manaim.
Shevet.
Hashem,
Achim, Gam Yachad. And he still can't. He says, I'm going to do this song about Heine. Heine lives down the street.
Okay. Well, keep going. That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Okay. Then the last section is L-I-E, which is the, right? Lizzy?
L-I-E.
How do you pronounce it? I mean, lie. You say lie, right?
Oh, lie, yeah.
Lie. Okay. All right. How many of you have sung before? How many of you never actually sung before? Okay. Incidentally, my chorale is a non-audition group, and people will come and sing in it.
you know, that they go, well, yeah, but I haven't sung for 20 years or something. It really, I have to say that I understand, but I don't care. All I want is that if you, like, two questions of you. The first one is, here's what it amounts to. If they can put up with me, that's one. And then secondly, do you want to do it? Because if those things happen, I'm convinced I can teach anybody to sing. There's a young man, he's an Italian kid, and he's like a wild pony. He must be about 30 years old, and somebody twisted his arm to be, we were doing West Side Story last year, and he became one of the kid, the kids that were, you know, fighting the Sharks and the
Jets,
right? He became one of them. I can't remember which one. But it required his singing, and he came in, and I am not kidding, he could not match two pitches, you know. And he looked at me and he said, what did that sound like? You know, there's a lot of room for improvement here. And so I've been working with him about once or twice a month. He's joined the chorale. And you should hear this guy sing. And he says, where have I been? Why haven't I done this? You know. And the one thing about our lives, we get so, sometimes the more harder we work, the more we limit, and all of a sudden we realize that as a person, wait a minute, there's more to me than just this one thing. I mean, sometimes musicians do that. We have to be careful, because it's so easy to just lock myself up in the music room and have two or three days go by, and then all of a sudden I'm dawning that, hey, wait a minute, I got a family. I like to fish. There's other things in my life that are important. I love to read. And there's different kinds of books that I like to read. There's some wonderful music books by James Jordan, by the way. If you want to read some fun books on music. And I like to read about leadership with Warren Bennis, one of the great leaders in the world. He happened to teach down at USC where my son went to school. My son became good friends of his. And now I, you know, now when I read the book, I've met him, so it's been kind of deep to do that. So I like to read, you know. We have to make sure that as we grow in our lives, that we have some form of some sense of balance. And music really helps us with that a lot. So, here we go. I'm going to
sing. How many people have sung this song?
Oh, wow. Fantastic. You didn't raise your hand. Okay. All right. I think I'll kind of play the melody here a little bit. And I'm going to play the melody, and then I'm going to have you sing it back to me, all right? Here we go. Let's start with just la. La 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 la. We're gonna all just do it on the la. Then we'll come back and get the words. Alright? Here we go. And la 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 la. To sing properly, I want you sitting in your chairs with your feet on the floor. And
I got that.
Drinkers are dangerous with these. And so I want you to sit nice, nice and tall. When you take a breath, I want you to take a breath this way. And In fact, everybody stand up. Stand up. So, are you comfortable putting your hand here? Okay, reach to the high with your right hand. Okay, reach away up. Okay, wave. Make some motion up there. Okay, now down. Now take a nice big inhalation. And relax. Now reach up high with the left hand. And relax. Down, nice and left. Okay. You know, we cross your right hand in front of you and look. Right? Sit. Okay, and down.
What?
Hands out. Down. Okay, and give somebody a high five. All right, here we go. out really well. And we want to three ladies. Okay, right. I want you to hold your music up here. I want you to sing right to the top of the seat of the clock band there. Ready? Sing. Good.
Don't
I'm just kidding. Russians celebrate the October Revolution.
don't know for sure.
All right, next question. Next question. What is a camel's hair brush made of? You've heard of the term camel's hair brush? You haven't?
I think it's a camel.
Sheltered by a camel. What is a camel's hair brush made of?
Sable.
Come up with something. Next question. You come up with an answer? Okay, come up with something. Next question. The Canary Islands in the Pacific. The Canary Islands in the Pacific is named after what animal? The Canary Islands in the Pacific is named after what animal? The Canary Islands
named after what animal?
What was King George the Sixth first name?
What?
King George the Sixth first name. What was King George the Sixth first name?
Frederick.
King George the Sixth. Two more. What color is a purple finch? What color is a purple finch? It's a bird. What color is a purple finch?
Red. Yeah, it's
like
red.
It's red.
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 Red. Red. Red. Red. Red. Red.
And last, where are Chinese gooseberries from? Where are Chinese gooseberries from?
Chinese gooseberries?
Chinese gooseberries.
There's no such thing.
There is.
No way.
I could be wrong. I think that's what it is.
No, I think they're from the U.S. Oh, they're mean.
I'm not from
Hawaii.
All right. Come up with a thought? Okay, anybody want to tell me what month Russians celebrate their October Revolution?
August.
What, when?
November 16th.
Say it. When?
November 7th.
They're
that's
right. Give them a good grade.
November. 1 point.
How many people are alive? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
All right, November is right. What is a camel's hairbrush made of?
Horse hair.
Sable.
No.
Horse hair.
No.
Horse hair.
Little animal you see him running.
Sable.
Squirrel hair.
Squirrel.
All right. Canary Islands in the Pacific are named after what animal?
Human.
Alligator.
Alligator. Nope.
Chicken.
Nope.
Duck.
Make a guess back here. Say an animal. Dog.
Dog.
All right. was King George's the sixth first name. Anybody know?
Henry.
Albert. I think Jerry.
What color is it for your
face? There's somebody in there shouting Jerry.
Red. Crimson.
Oh. I got one.
A couple of these I knew pretty good, but this one I had no idea. I know what the Chinese food fairies are, I think. They're
Russia.
From New Zealand.
I was right, I knew it.
Now, I want to ask you, is it easier? I mean, these are all trick questions. But in a way, that's kind of the way life is. When you're by yourself answering these questions, that's a whole new thing. Anyway, I want to wish you guys the best of your endeavors. I hope that you're very successful with all your studies here at Best here and in life. So thank you very much for allowing me to come in. Okay, we'll collect cards. Don't forget to take them.